Welcome to CS50, and this is, in fact, the end. So it's in today's lecture where we wrap up the course. Please finish handing to one of the teaching fellows your sheet of paper, if you haven't already. They'll then bring them up to the front so that we can begin. I went through my email from some of the students we had in this course last year, and we received, quite spontaneously, this particular note. And I thought it would be nice to share it, because, frankly, it's little notes like these that make this whole production that you see here today rather worthwhile for us. So this student wrote us, "I am a sophomore. I'm one of those very, very less comfortable people in CS50. When I was a senior at high school, I did not have a computer, so I needed to do everything related to computers, some homework, or even sending an email in places called internet cafes. It was very inconvenient since everyone in my class had a laptop or PC, and it was really frustrating to go to internet cafes after school. Well, then I came to Harvard, and the school helped me to buy my first personal computer ever. Although my knowledge of computers was limited to checking email and Facebook and creating some Word documents or PowerPoint presentations, now I know a lot more. It is true that in some quizzes I got bad grades in this class, or I suffered in the terminal room for a PSET. Sometimes the language was too abstract, and the ability of my classmates was kind of intimidating. Sometimes I did not understand much. Sometimes I really knew what was going on. Most of the time I was very non-confident. But now I think for someone who did not even have a computer 2 years ago, the things that CS50 taught me are miraculous. I have an idea about programming. I can actually write some programs. I know what computers do. I know how to give them certain commands. I have a web page, a spell checker, some program that draws Mario Pyramid, and lots of others. And most importantly, I know sometimes it is necessary to do step-by-step approaches to solve problems. The key is to work logically and simply. It works in real life, too. I hope this email is not too long, but I talked to my parents about the class, and they were very proud without asking grades, so I couldn't help. So our thanks to that student, and we do hope that at least some of you exit this course with perhaps similar sentiments or takeaways. So, of course, the CS50 store has debuted. So for years as an undergrad, I envied those jocks on campus who got to walk around with their DHAs, and my, how the tables have turned. So in the CS50 store, can you now get such gear as this? Yuki's wonderful design that some of the teaching fellows are wearing on t-shirts. Check that out on the course's website. And here, of course, is Happy Cat. Speaking of Happy Cats, it was in our first lecture when we introduced lolcats in the first place, and I revealed that I had spent, you know, way too much time the night before whipping up the lolcat of the day. Well, I thought I would reveal to you how little code it took to create that little time sink for you this semester. I sat down, I went to iCanHasCheeseburger.com, I poked around, and I found an RSS feed. And so I grabbed the URL of it, much like you guys did for problem set 8. I looked through it, I figured out where the fellow who runs the site was embedding the day's title and the actual image, and I wrote these, 10 or so lines of PHP code to search through that code, grab the URL of the image, and then cache it on our local server. And it really didn't take all that much time. So if you look now at things like this, and frankly look back at your Mario pyramids, which a couple months ago might have taken you a surprising amount of time, I think moving forward you will find such things far more within your grasp. So who were you this semester? Well, hopefully you were in Mather. If not, you were more likely in Leverett. Don't know what's up with Lowell, so perhaps you could suggest they visit us next year. But this, of course, was the distribution of students, and the distribution across classes from freshman up to senior was similarly fairly evenly distributed. The female enrollment this semester went up quite a bit, so they're catching up. So tell your friends, tell your female friends to at least shop CS50 next year, and we'll see if we can't equalize those two numbers as well. What we thought we would do today, too, and besides wrapping up the course and giving you a teaser on things to come, thought we'd reveal some of our survey answers. And as you've seen, respondent number 70 offered his criticism that I personally make too much use of antiquated internet culture. Well, you're going to love this one, then. This is a throwback to the mid-90s.
Here we go.
Perhaps one of the most annoying things ever. never circulated on the internet. So we provide a link to that one on the course's website. So feel free to send that particular one around. So I'll be talking today. What I thought we would do today is wrap up the course with a little bit of a game show, a quiz review, if you will. I would not base your entire prep for quiz one on this particular review, but that is to say we will have quiz one this Wednesday, and also the very last, the actual last, Lunch with David and Teaching Fellows will be this Friday, say from 1 p.m. to like 3 p.m. We'll have a couple of windows if you have class from 1 to 2. Lunch last week didn't really happen. Turns out David had a conflict and couldn't show up to his own lunch, so we moved it. So if you weren't able to make it last week, as I wasn't, do check out this week in RSVP. For this next phase, we're going to need a few volunteers. A couple of you need to be brave enough to appear on... Wow, the hands are already going up. Normally, we have to beat the crowd to actually get you to come up here. Why don't we have you come on up here, and you two guys in front, and you front center. That'll give us a team of four. I think we need at least two teams of TFs. Perhaps we could get a few volunteers... compulsory volunteers from the front row here. So if these guys could join us, perhaps Jansu, you could play our scorekeeper of sorts up here. Come on up. Those of you who've just sat down have now tacitly agreed to appear on the internet in perpetuity. We have forms testifying as much.
Wait, which one of the internets?
Come on up. Sure, we have extra chairs in the crowd. Jansu, perhaps you could run the board here. So we'll have two teams of teaching fellows. They can divvy themselves up however you would like, but we're going to need a team name from the four students and two team names from the teaching fellows here. Three team names in total, please, because this, of course, is about to be an error. Wow. Okay, we'll just quit out of that. Oh, okay. This, of course, is about to be...
Just come up.
Wow. All right, let's try this one last time.
Jeopardy!
So, we're going to need three team names. The four students here are getting to know each other. How shall be called the what?
Yellow Ducky.
The Yellow Ducky, all right? The Yellow Ducky. Looks like Alex and Ken here will be known as the Pink Poodles. Cato and Aaron will be...
Uhulslager?
He's trying to say my last name.
Uhulslager. Actually, that would be enlightening. Could you pronounce your last name for the course?
All right, so in German it would be Erlschläger. That makes anyone happy.
That will work. And then we have the, pink poodles in the middle. The pink poodles in the middle. So in advance of this, we have, of course, prepared a number of questions, which is, as always the case, come out to be top-notch quality. I, of course, will take on...
And now, here is the host of Jeopardy!
That shall be my role here, and here we are in Single Jeopardy. The categories, as you might have guessed, have been broken down into the course's weeks, the subjects for which you now no longer have in front of you. We tossed a pseudo-random coin before class began, and the Yellow Ducky team won the toss, so you were allowed to choose first which category you would like.
Fixed.
Doesn't require all that much thought, given that this is all very random.
Week zero.
Week zero. Your question for week zero would be, what color are sounds in Scratch?
Motherfucker. All right.
The first hand to go up will be called on. Looks like Aaron.
Purple.
They heard our answer.
Is that correct?
Oh, sorry, it wasn't the form of question.
We kind of flipped things around. What color are sounds in Scratch? The answer was purple. I actually don't know. Anyone? We'll put it to a vote. Yes, Alex Hugon. Yes is the answer. So you guys... Oh, you didn't even pick a dollar sign. We really... Pick a number. How much did you want to give them for this question?
$200.
But that goes to the Aarons. To the Aarons. All right, so Aaron and Cato, you are in control. What category would you like in dollar amount?
Week three, 4,000.
Week three for 1,000. A lot of you didn't get to week two. So weeks, one of you just checked off the topics. That's great. All right, your question from week three. First hand goes that goes up gets it. What is recursion? Saw it here with the duckies.
All right, so recursion is when you break down a problem into a function that invokes itself one or more times, eventually breaking down to a base case so that you can solve the problem elegantly.
This student would have accepted calling a function itself over and over. But yes, we'll give that to you for 1,000 and control of the board. Oh, you know, I'm not even participating here, am I? So we did that, and that was week three for 1,000. All right. For $400.
Fine work.
This is what? Week two. Week two. All right, week two. What is the difference between the stack and the heap firsthand? Tentatively, duckies?
The stack grows from the bottom, the heap grows from the top. And Okay.
That is at least one difference.
Not if you turn the picture upside down.
The heap is memory that you can always access throughout the program, and the stack is segmented into frames.
Audience, do you like? Yeah, we like that answer. All right, you're not going to applaud, are you? All right, excellent. For $400, still in control of the board. What would you like?
Let's go week one for 1,000. Week one,
right, let's
cool.
Do it. Yeah.
Week one for 1,000.
Week one for $1,000. So in week one for $1,000, we had this question, which was... What? Why won't my code compile?
What? Why what?
Was it the student's hand? The duckies? Duckies again.
You're missing a semicolon.
The student gave I don't know, but we'll take it for 1,000. Still in control.
To articulate a little bit more, syntax fail.
Syntax failed. So, duckies, you're still in control. Poodles are trailing desperately in third. What would you like, duckies?
We can't see the board, sir. Thank
really
you.
Doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure it does. Week two for 1,000.
Week two for $1,000. In week two, the question was... Well, the question was in week two. Okay. A dot out, this is awesome. What is in argv2? Poodles. A dot out, this is awesome. What is in argv of 2?
Oh.
Poodles?
Is.
That is correct. Is for $1,000, and you're on the board and in control. What would you like next?
That was what they were running. That's what they were saying.
Let's go for week four and five.
Week four and five for
600.
You're never catching up that way, I'm sorry.
600. For 600, weeks four and five. Wow. Oh, this is the same thing. A dot out, this is awesome. Printf, percent C, star argv bracket 2 plus 2. What is printed? Duckies.
Is.
No.
You know, some answers really would have helped here. So, plus 2.
We don't know where the plus 2 is. Is it like,
yeah,
is, and then the string
is...
plus 2?
Yeah, I don't think this will print what you thought. Segfault, yes! All right, audience gets that question. Still in control of the board. Poodles, what would you like?
Oh.
Audience? Okay. No, audience.
Week 1, 200.
Give the audience a choice.
Week one for 200?
Week one for $200. Your question in week one was the following. Question in week one was... What is compiling?
Well, like...
Why are none of the chefs right here? Duckies!
All right, so like from the week one perspective... You're taking some source code and you're running GCC and it gives you like machine code and an executable that you can run.
Well, the audience is catching up. So. Yes, we'll take that for $200. The student wrote changing source code to object code. Excellent. Let's give you some applause there. There we go. All right, you're in control. These guys like it. What do you got? What's next? Anyone from the audience may henceforth raise their hand as well.
Week 4, 5, 800.
Week 4, 5 for $800. Week 4, 5. Anyone's question is going to be, what function is used to prevent memory leaks? I think I still saw duckies.
Yeah, pretty much. Free.
Free is in fact correct for $800. Excellent. All right, we have time for just one or two more questions in single Jeopardy here. What's it going to be?
So let's go for high dollar values.
Week 4 and 5 for $1,000.
Week 4 and 5 for $1,000, I heard. Week 4 or 5 for $1,000. Your question is going to be from that week. Your question is going to be.
Wow, lots of questions.
Nobody got to week 4 or 5?
No, not really. What's la-la-la-la-la.com? Kato!
It's a website with a Brazilian date porn website ad.
I'm not sure we're talking about the same website. $1,000. That was submitted by one of your classmates. All right, time for one more question here in single Jeopardy. What's it going to be?
I thought they were picking.
Yeah, they're picking. We don't have to do stuff.
Week 0 for $1,000.
Your question is going to be state the number 17 in binary. Quickly.
This is going to be 10001.
Did you write this question?
No.
That was pretty fast. All right, for $1,000.
I mean, it's 16 plus 1.
That is true.
You can get harder.
That is true. What? What? What did you say?
What?
Oh, he said three zeros. That's right.
Raise your hand.
Oh, he said three zeros.
Yeah, I said 10001.
100. Did he? The guest lecturer is rejecting your answer.
I totally said 10001. What?
It's going down. I heard three zeros.
I'm pretty sure I start counting from 2 to the 0.
Like.
What are the audience
tablet.
Here?
What is
the audience
one
for $1,000. All right. We're moving into Double Jeopardy and then into our guest lecturer today, which will be from Computer Science 124. You have to follow this, I'm afraid. So, Double Jeopardy, the scores, of course, double in value. It looks like we are going to give it to the Pink Poodles control of the board. What would you like? We have time for just a couple more questions in Double Jeopardy.
Week 11 and 12 for 800.
Week 11 and 12 for 800. Switching to our other packet of questions. Week 11 and 12, your question is, what class follows CS50? Duckies.
Anthropology 101.
We'll give it to you for 800. Alternative
That's
answer
not a class.
Would have been CS51. Time for two more questions here in Double Jeopardy. What's it going to be, Duckies?
Week 8 for $1,200.
Week 8 for $1,200. In week 8, we have the following question. What does HTTP stand for?
So
it's really just you and me here today.
Sorry, I'm a little competitive. So, like, Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
That's right. For $1,200, Hypertext Transfer Protocol. Excellent. And the final question in Double Jeopardy is going to be from what category?
Just raise your hand.
Week 9 for 400.
Week 9 for 400.
Come on.
Week 9 for $400.
We can beat him.
You guys have a slight advantage going into Final Jeopardy here. Week 9, what is the concatenation operator for JavaScript?
plus.
And PHP.
Dot.
Audience? Rejected. No $400, but that does bring us to Final Jeopardy. Here in Final Jeopardy, the category is going to be this. Computer science. You may take a moment here, write down on a piece of paper exactly how much money you would like to wager. There is a clear strategy that might guarantee someone the game here.
Just bid it off.
Take a few moments to decide on your dollar value.
It doesn't matter. Just bid it off.
The only way the game can still be competitive is if we bet it all. So we want to make it exciting.
There's apparently debate among the duckies as to what the optimal approach is.
People are irrational.
I think we should write a function.
All right, so just about have your dollar signs ready. And here we enter into the final question. Dollar amounts down? All right, and your question is going to be... Give you one more round to think it over.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and collect the answers here. Wow, this is, all right. What do you got here? All right, what's your wager? Okay. Wager, great. Wow, okay. So, let's see, the team that was trailing, which is the audience, came up with what answer? Not what most of you came up with. So let's take a look what you came up with. So in third place are the Pink Poodles. The Pink Poodles not only failed to come up with a dollar amount, tragically, but did come up with for the win. So you guys wagered nothing, so you end up with $1,000. The Aarons wagered 2 to the 32 minus 1. Their answer was DJM, not correct. And so you...
So I think we lost a negative dollar amount because we exceeded the bounds of an int, which would actually give us an exceedingly high positive.
You know you're in CS50 when. Yes, all right, so fine. Go ahead, and if you could round up words. So 2 to the 32. And finally, the duckies came up with Vim, but that is, in fact, incorrect. So a big round of applause for our contestants. The duckies did, in fact, win, as should be the case. Congratulations. Let me ask you guys to exit this way as we bring on our guest lecturer for a slight change of pace. This is Professor Michael Mitzenmacher, who teaches Computer Science 124, which is a wonderful course that focuses on data structures and algorithms. So it's in this class that you'll have a combination of both theory as well as coding, and perhaps consider it a continuation of the dialogue we had along the lines of hash trees and tries and tables. And he will be doing this old school style with a chalkboard, and you will find this to be a delightful course coming up this particular spring. So, Professor Mitzenmacher.
Yeah, got you.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Okay, all yours.
Hello, David. Can you hear me?
Number three.
Can you hear me? Is this working? All right. David asked me to talk a little bit about 124 because this is a class that those of you who are interested in can come into next semester, or you can come into next year, but if you're really ready and gung-ho, you're more than welcome to come next semester. CS50 has plenty of programming background to take 124. So the way I like to think of it is, you know, if you think of tool sets, hopefully what you've learned in this class is your basic set of programming tools in order to handle dealing with the computer. What I like to do in 124 is say that instead what you're going to pick up is a whole set of problem-solving tools. So you're not just ready to code on the computer, but you're start ready to code for interesting and more challenging problems. So it's not just getting the code to work, it's actually thinking about how to design, how to solve more challenging problems. The way I like to think of this is as follows. After CS50, I would expect most of you to be able to write a program to do the basic checkbook operations, you know, to write your own little checkbook program. Okay? But what I wouldn't necessarily expect you to be able to do is to be able to do the sort of algorithmic thinking you need in order to do financial arbitrage. This will be the sort of thing that pops up on an assignment in 124. Okay? So similarly, you could write a checkbook, but I wouldn't expect you to know how to do the cryptography that protects your checkbook transactions that are going over the computer. So here you'll be thinking about writing a checkbook. Here you'll be thinking about how to write cryptographic stuff that will protect your checkbook transactions. So what other sorts of things do we do? So in this class, I'd expect that you've learned to be able to write an interface so that you can pull information down off Google. So in 124, we'll learn the sort of algorithms that let you do things, like when you use Google Maps, and it tells you how to get from here to there from the shortest path in mileage or in time or in whatever other units they're doing in these days, you know, that you'll be able to know how to program that sort of algorithm to get that sort of solution. So we'll go from getting information from Google to learning things like how does Google Maps calculate shortest paths. Okay. So another sort of example of the sort of thing that we'd be doing, and you'd be learning the tools here and learning the problem-solving skills here. Another thing that Google does is it tells you, hey, let's pull out all the documents you're interested in, but let's sort of collapse all the similar documents. Let's not show you the same page 100 times. Okay. So again, you can get information from Google, but we'll be figuring out how Google is doing some of the things that it's doing behind the scenes. How does it know, how does it find duplicates and near duplicate documents? So finally, the last sort of example, the sort of problems that we'll be thinking about. So every year these days now, there is actually an official world championship for rock, paper, scissors. I'm sure you all watch that on ESPN when you get the chance. So one of the things we'll go over in this class is how you figure out how to find the optimal strategy for games like rock, paper, scissors so that you too can enter the world championship. So the class is going to involve a lot more pencil and paper stuff, a lot more of mathematical exercises, but there will also be programming assignments as well. It's a mix of both. And again, the way I view it is that you're sort of taking the next step up so that not only do you know how to program, how to get the information that you want in and out of the computer, but you're sort of taking it to the higher level. How do I solve actual problems? What are the tools, the structures, the techniques, the methodologies that you need to know so that someone presents you with a problem that you haven't seen before, you have some idea or some set of tools to use to attack the problem? And that's where the gap or the change is as we go from, you know, the introductory programming classes to the upper level classes. And I viewed 124 as being sort of the cornerstone, the touchstone, the thing that leads you in to all the other advanced upper level classes that you'll want to take. That this will lay the foundations so that when in other classes you get more specific types of problems that you want to handle. That is, you're doing specific sorts of AI-based learning problems, or you're working in computational biology class and you're trying to come up with string algorithms or matching algorithms to solve certain problems, that you'll have the foundations, the tools that you need by taking 124. So again, 50 is enough background to take the course if you want to come, or if you'd rather wait until next year after taking 121 or 51, that's also perfectly fine. I just hope to see you there. And I think now I'll open up to questions if anyone has any that they want answered before deciding whether to come shop the course next semester. Yeah. The meeting time should be the one that's actually in the book at the moment. We've been fiddling with times, but I don't think the time for 124 is going to change. And I forget what that is. But I'll remember by, you know, February 1st or so. Other questions? Okay. Feel free to email me or contact me if you have any questions, and I hope to see you there soon, if not sooner. Thanks a lot.
To our guest, let's wrap. For a moment, two models who are taking a break from setting up cake and dessert downstairs. They'd like to perhaps do a stroll across the stage. Would that be sufficiently awkward? For Cato and Ken, please. Cato is sporting a lovely navy hoodie designed by Yuki, featuring all nine of our problem sets, complete with hood and front pouch. Ken, meanwhile, supporting the same design. This is, of course, CS50. On the back is that same design. These can be yours at cs50.net. Thanks to both of these guys. Actually, let me invite now a couple of students to come to stage in just a bit. If you guys could linger down there, I'll need at least one of you in a moment. In addition to the survey questions that we have been looking over, we had comments, of course, on problem sets. And respondent number 241 said something that's perhaps a sentiment that several of you have shared. At first, they always seem really daunting, but as I get into them, it's amazing to see my own progress, even within a single problem set. So perhaps something that rings true for some of you. Number 42 said, I like being able to look back 2 weeks ago and feel I've made significant improvement since then. And so that perhaps is something that might feel familiar. This one's a bit more amusing, but no less true. 240 said, I feel like I give birth to my own mutant creation every week. And I will personally thank those of you who put as much time thinking of witty answers as we try to think of witty footnotes and such for the problem sets. It makes it a pleasure to read 332 surveys, each of which has many, many questions, as you know. So a little retrospective, perhaps, on where you began this course. We began, of course, in week zero with problem set zero, in which we introduced Scratch, and you dabbled for a couple of days' time with what ultimately was a programming language, a programming environment, many of whose ideas we saw later in the course. Consider that early on in Scratch, you saw certainly the basics, loops, conditions, variables, and things like that, but we also saw threads, and we also saw events, and realized we did come full circle with those topics when it came time to introduce JavaScript. So simple as that environment was, and kid-friendly though it was, it certainly had some really interesting, really complicated ideas underlying its implementation. We wanted to take take a moment today to recognize some of the most remarkable submissions for problem sets, not necessarily because they were the best, but because they caught our eye and won our love perhaps the most. And of course, we began the semester with the submission of projects. If I go on over to today's lecture page, you'll see that we have provided a link to what we've deemed the cutest Scratch submission. So allow me to introduce you to this, a little story. And actually, the preface that this student submitted her problem set was this. I produced an animation of dancing and singing cookies. It follows the story of two gingerbread cookies who, in the first part of the animation, attend a dance party and, upon setting eyes on one another, fall in love. The second part of the animation shows the happy couple along with their backup singers, who are the other guests at the dance party. When the backup singers show up near the end, half of the time they are wearing sunglasses, half of the time they are not, due to the use of a pseudo-random variable. So the most random Scratch project submitted was the other title we considered, but ultimately we did give this the cutest moniker. So I give you the Gingerbread Men.
The dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together, so happy together. How is the weather? So happy together.
So this reminded me, at least, of course, of Andrew Barry's design last year, which was Raining Men, in a little homage to that, perhaps. I implemented snowflakes on the course's website this weekend in honor of the snow, and Cato went in and added a JPEG called Malin Flakes. So that it would apparently rain men. But with attention to these gingerbread men, if we could have Paige Martin come up and accept her certificate for the cutest Scratch award, a big applause for her if we could. We tried to find you the geekiest gift possible, and the best I could come up with, if you'd like to hold that for a moment, is a premium chocolate CD, complete with CD case and edible chocolate on the inside. So a little thank you from CS50 to you. Congrats. While we have him here, I was having a little too much fun with a print shop. And I made another certificate here. It is, by coincidence, Ken Perino's birthday today. So I made him a little certificate. We got him this little balloon. And so if in a perfect moment of awkwardness, we could have him come back up and perhaps a quick sing of happy birthday, that would perhaps be an unprecedented Sanders thing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ken. Happy birthday to you. Woo! And onward to problem set one. In problem set one, we quickly transitioned to C. And the funny thing is, you may recall from problem set one that we had you implement a pyramid of asterisks. And this is perhaps not the most stimulating exercise, because it's little more than an exercise in for loops. But apparently, based on surveys, if you take an arbitrary screenshot from Super Mario Brothers and call it a Mario pyramid, it makes those little stars infinitely more memorable and interesting. So that was where we began the course with the simplest of programs. We quickly ramped up in week two, where ROT 13, or a key of 13, has been a perhaps recurring theme in the course's examples. The focus, of course, was on Caesar, Cypher, and Visionaires, as well as on DES for those of you who attempted the hacker. Problem set three, we transitioned to the game of 15, and many of you walked out of here with one of those little trinkets. And so I also noticed among our submissions of surveys that respondent number 213 commented that it's funny I made my mom send me something for class. Those, recall, were imported games of 15 from Connecticut. In problem set four, we transitioned to Sudoku, and you were given some 400 plus lines of code written by us, the point of which was to introduce you to the idea of reading not only your own code and writing your own, but reading someone else's. And so it was an exercise in reading and understanding, and hopefully an attempt to take the training wheels off so that you were no longer writing little baby programs, so to speak, like in the first week, but instead we're really writing real pieces of software that actually had, at that point, graphical user interfaces. Problem set five. I'm in your crime scene. These, of course, are all the panels that we've excerpted from Yuki's wonderful design on t-shirts and sweatshirts. So in this one, did we dabble in forensics? And you had that secret message from Mr. Body. You had to recover some JPEGs on campus, and then you had to go find some of those JPEGs on campus. We transitioned in problem set six to dictionary, which was, for many of you, rather addictive, to the point where ultimately students did, in fact, best teachers. I was trailing well behind by day two or so of that competition. But if we pull up the big board for problem set six, you'll see that we have atop the list perhaps an increasingly familiar name, Drew Robb and Yang Lee, who ultimately got their dictionaries running on our big board test scripts in only a total of 1.82 seconds. And if we scroll down here, perhaps is, yep, birthday boy down there. 2,695 seconds. So let me ask both Yang and Drew to come up to get their certificates for making it to the top of the big board if they too are here and would like a chocolate CD. Drew and Yang, come on down. This is what those names look like on the big board. All right. Yang, congratulations. Here we go. All right, congrats. Now problem set six, and yet another big board. Drew, you might not want to go far. So in problem set seven, you implemented CS50 Finance. In CS50 Finance, you had to dabble with PHP, with SQL, with CSV, and actually merge those concepts and technologies together. Well, for our big board here, we had, up until last night, actually a bug that was reporting many of your earnings to be at zero, which, while perhaps not impossible these days, was not in fact true. Drew, perhaps testament to the old adage of having way too much free time, if we scroll through his history here, you'll see that he was a fairly active day trader, ultimately amassing more decimal points of precision than my XHTML had accounted for. I finally gave up a week or two ago in actually widening the TD tags to actually fit these values. Jan Lee came in, I was about to say close second, came in second. Followed by Austin and most everyone else. And at the bottom of this list as of this morning are a few of us, although I, as of last night, was actually number six. And all I did, of course, was buy our little penny stock. So if we could have Drew and Jan come up to receive their chocolate CDs and certificates as well. However it was done, it is remarkable. Hi, Jan. Congratulations. All right, only one problem set to go. In problem set eight, we mashed a whole bunch of ideas together. And this, too, in that spirit of training wheels, was all about introducing you to a language, to technologies, to code, to data that you've presumably never before seen, and asked you, albeit by holding your hand in terms of pointing you to this reference and that, but not actually telling you what to do, did you implement, or will you, by week's end and exhaustion of the remaining late days you might be cashing in, have implemented your first mashup. And we hope that this serves as a springboard, whether for the course's final project project or projects of interest to you after the course and just picking up something new and doing something interesting. Let me pause and take a moment to give myself a certificate. I looked over the statistics last night of the bulletin board. These are available to staff to get a sense of who's up to what. These are David J. Malin's and shows you my posting frequency. Notice up here that I spent, let's just summarize, with way too much time on the bulletin board, it seems. This is my distribution of when I sleep, apparently. I apparently peak around 11 p.m. to midnight is when most of your questions get answered, by me at least. The scariest statistic here, perhaps, was that I spent 14 days, 15 hours, and 32 minutes of my life this semester on the bulletin board in some form. So I made myself this certificate, which I will hang at home for myself. So respondent number 99 in our most recent survey said this: testing, I'm a TF, just seeing what the questions are, and said this about 23 times in answer to every question. But I thought that'd be a good segue to, one, remind you that recruiting has begun for fall 2009. If you've loved this course, if you've hated this course, if you would love to return to this course, we would love to chat with you no matter how you exit this particular week. Still plenty of time left in the term. But some thank yous first, one of whom is in fact still here, one of whom is not here, and whose face no one has ever seen, but he does exist. A huge thanks to Glenn Holloway and Cato, who stay up with me at all hours of the night, fielding bulletin board posts, fixing the cloud, installing software, working on problem sets. Cato in particular, I fear we have done a disservice to his free time and sleep throughout the semester, but if we could, a huge round of applause for Cato. And if you come by Maxwell Dworkin 308 sometime, you can see not only me, but Glenn as well. A huge thanks to the course's course assistants. So this was actually a new role that we carved out this semester that SEAS supported so that we could have more manpower in office hours to field questions and work alongside one-on-one students. So we had a number of alumni essentially from the course or past teaching fellows return, as well as some new faces as course assistants. So a huge thanks to these six guys who offered many office hours each week, if we could. These folks you've probably never seen unless you knew them already, but we had some teaching fellows emeriti, as well as other alumni, including personal friends of mine, who don't even live in Massachusetts, but who hopped into the VTR on occasion to assist with students in virtual office hours. So Doug Lloyd as well, huge thanks to him in particular, who in addition to serving in that role, also was behind many of our section notes, question reviews, and other such tasks this year. So a huge thanks to those folks as well. It takes over 30 or 40 people to produce this course every day, and a huge number of them never appear on stage. You don't meet them in sections because they sit or stand behind you in this room. So a huge thanks to our production staff who does the videos, lighting, and sound. Chris Thayer in particular, who if you've been attending some of our most recent seminars, know that she was there not only for the seminar you attended, but for everyone before it and everyone after it this past weekend, and has been putting in many, many hours in order to get those videos online for you all. Yes, she is here. A word on supporters. So we, of course, have that little tagline on the website and have been very thankful to receive some outside support this semester for largely the first time. And to make clear, you should know that none of these companies approach the course and say, peddle our wares in your course, but rather each and every one of these companies was cold called by us because we had a particular vision in mind, we had a particular project in mind that we wanted to execute, whether it was the PDFification of feedback, whether it was use of cloud computing, and so we went knocking on doors, and we were quite fortunate, at least before the stock market tanked, to have found some receptive ears, and these folks made a number of our technological projects possible this semester, so for that we thank them. A particular thank you, as we wrap up here, and cake shall await you downstairs, to this young lady, who has been an extraordinary head teaching fellow. So a huge round of applause, and a bouquet, if we could, for Jansu, if she'd come up here on stage. No chocolate CD, though. So congratulations and thank you. If you want to join me up here for just a moment as we wrap up. And finally, and perhaps most importantly in this course, because though it's me who appears a couple of times a week on stage, and though you might only interact with one or two of them, there are 30 teaching fellows in this course without whom this course would not be possible. And frankly, it is they, long after we're gone, that you will probably remember years from now as having defined your experience in this course. So a huge thank you to all of our teaching fellows. If the TFs who are here and not in their own classes could stand up, maybe join us on stage here for just a moment. Come on up. No chocolate CDs, though. Though anytime I don't have something for them, I mention under my breath tablet PCs, which has gotten me off the hook quite a number of times this semester. So, a huge thank... So a huge thank you to all of these guys who, without whom this course certainly would not have been possible this semester. We do hope that you will join us for cake and candy canes downstairs in the Queen's Head Pub. And congrats. This has been CS50.
Can I say wait. David did a good job of thanking everyone, but I guess we all have to thank him for bringing us all here and for being such a great teacher and a great advisor and a great person just to get to know him.
All right, cake is being served downstairs. We'll see you there.